I was always that wacky pharmacist. I was always that pharmacist that people were like, okay, you can go to Lindsay because she knows much more about natural products. She knows as much as she does about medicine, about natural products. And I was always willing to learn. And I always felt like it was a shame in the Western medical model when the most common complaint I would hear from patients is, I bring this supplement, or I bring this new trending diet, or I bring this new thing that everybody's talking about on the web to my physician, to my nurse, to my pharmacist, and I ask, what's your opinion? And too often people were met with, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. And I just thought that was a shame because it undervalues the patient's role in taking care of their own health and wellness. And I also thought it was very important for average people to understand that just because you find it on a pharmacy shelf, or just because you find it at your herbalist, does not make it 100% safe and does not make it correct for you. And so that's what kind of started me. And then what ultimately catapulted me was the discovery of essential oils. It's the father of modern medicine. Hippocrates said that one of the keys to health was the bathing in aromatic plants. You know, we all have this superpower inside of us. You know, it's like Marianne Williamson said, we all think we're scared of being powerless, but what we're actually scared of is being powerful beyond measure. And that is very true.
This is Conversations with Changemakers with me, your host, Gary Tirola. Every week, I bring you an inspiring leader that is rethinking what it means to be a changemaker. During these conversations, I slowly peel back the layers of the minds of our future leaders that are using their skills to positively impact this world. Listeners, welcome back to another episode of Conversations with Changemakers, and yours truly, Gary. This week, I am so excited. We have got a guest that has got so much education behind her, so much knowledge behind her, but she's filled with such a full heart. We've got Lindsay Elmore from New York. She's a pharmacist, inspiring health, essential oil expert, vegan cook, yoga teacher, author, and all-round badass. So welcome. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks so much for your time. You're in New York. It's morning. I'm in Bahrain. It's evening. Are we kind of matching up our days here?
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing how the world has evolved and how we can be even having this conversation these days.
It really makes living fun, and it makes it all the more, gives us the opportunity to not be so ignorant, right? And not just trust one opinion or one website or one doctor, etc.
Or one life experience, you know? I think is especially right now in this moment in America, is just plaguing us with everyone relying on their own one little box that we were born into being all of the scope of the world.
Yeah. And I often have this conversation with friends and family, and it's being a person that works on the road and is somewhat of a nomad. There isn't really too much of the conventional structures that are geared towards travel and working online and working with businesses and individuals all over the world. And it does make it kind of tough and daunting, but very interesting. And I want to understand, you've got a pharmacist background, and you've now, you're still a certified pharmacist in three states, as I know.
I'm still licensed to practice. Okay. I just don't practice.
You just don't practice. Now, right. I want to get straight into that. Why don't you practice anymore? And what was the tipping point that got you out of practicing and into the world of really nutrition and mindful health?
I was always that wacky pharmacist. I was always that pharmacist that people were like, okay, you can go to Lindsay because she knows much more about natural products. She knows as much as she does about medicine, about natural products. And I was always willing to learn. And I always felt like it was a shame in the Western medical model when the most common complaint I would hear from patients is, I bring this supplement, or I bring this new trending diet, or I bring this new thing that everybody's talking about on the web to my physician, to my nurse, to my pharmacist, and I ask, what's your opinion? And too often people were met with, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. And I just thought that was a shame because it undervalues the patient's role in taking care of their own health and wellness. And I just simply became completely driven to learn as much as I could, to educate as much as I could, because I felt like there was a patient collaboration problem, but I also felt like there was a patient safety risk if we did not know all of these different interactions that can come from natural products. And I also thought it was very important for average people to understand that just because you find it on a pharmacy shelf, or just because you find it at your herbalist, does not make it 100% safe and does not make it correct for you. And so that's what kind of started me. And then what ultimately catapulted me was the discovery of essential oils. And I know it sounds so wishy-washy coming from a pharmacist, but when I found essential oils, I remember I sat in my living room floor and something powerful came over me. I had them running in the diffuser. I was inhaling them. I was putting them on my skin. I was drinking them. I was cooking with them. And it was instant. In that moment, I went immediately to the internet, started buying every book I could find on the matter, researching and teaching. And I was a very early adopter of Facebook Live. When I found out that Facebook Live was a thing, I just one day was like, I'll just pop on Facebook Live. And my audience went crazy for it. And they just were like, please teach us everything, teach us everything. And a year of doing that ultimately led me to a place where I felt like I had the confidence to step outside of a traditional working for an employer model and start my own company.
Yeah, that's it's always a brave move, but you obviously made that move with solid results. And let's speak to the effects while we add essential oils. Let's speak to the effects of what you experienced. What were the benefits that you experienced when taking it in all forms, eating, drinking, pouring on you, showering, whatever the case?
Well, if you think back, essential oils have been used by humans for millennia, for everything from health and wellness routines to beautification routines. They were highly prized. We think about the spice trade as being something very profound that linked the East and the West. But a lot of the times what was on the road on those spice trades was essential oils. And if you think about even religious traditions, I mean, probably the most famous story in Christianity is the Christ child being gifted with frankincense and myrrh. Well, those are essential oils. We think about ancient Egyptian pharaohs being buried with essential oils. And even the earliest man, even before modern civilization, were buried with herbal plants and aromatic plants. The father of modern medicine, Hippocrates, said that one of the keys to health was the bathing in aromatic plants. So in a modern day and age, I think that essential oils are very powerful because they can literally permeate every aspect of your life. They can transform your environment. And so it's all about the simplistic. You know, you got company coming over. You want your house to smell good really quickly. You know, you didn't know your in-laws were just going to drop by. Turn on a diffuser. Maybe you've got a little bit of a stomach upset after you've eaten too big of a meal. Well, rub some peppermint on your belly, or perhaps you're looking for a way that to help cleanse the body. You could consider something like a lemon essential oil in some water. So you can use essential oils three primary ways: by inhaling them, by placing them on the skin, and by ingesting them. And they each have different benefits, but I think the most profound benefit is the emotional connection that we all have to aromas. We've all had those moments of, oh my gosh, I remember this smell from childhood, where it jogs a memory and it brings back something profound. That is because the sense of smell is very deeply encoded into an ancient portion of our brain called the limbic system. In humans, we are the only animal that has two very, very well-developed portions of our brain. Our, you know, other animal relatives have this limbic system, but we also have not only a cortex, but also a neocortex, where our highest executive functions take place, like speaking and reading and listening in ways that other animals do not. But this limbic system is very, very ancient, and it does much more animalistic type functions.
This is the fight or flight part of the brain.
It is the fight or flight part of the brain. It is also the part of the brain that controls emotions and hormones and memories. And it also does if you ever had the experience where you're driving in your car and you drive from your house to somewhere that you've driven 1,000 times and you get there and you just go, How did I get here? I have no recollection of this actual drive. That is your limbic system kicking in. And you know how we talk about things being ingrained in our memory? That's your limbic system working for you. And the only sense that the limbic system understands is the sense of fight or flight. But it also, as far as our five senses, our sight, touch, taste, and hearing, and we only experience the limbic system through our sense of smell. So the sense of smell is very deeply encoded in our emotions, our memories, our hormones, our relationships. In Germany, they have a phrase that if you don't like the way someone smells on a first date, you're never going to end up on a second date. And I think that we as humans all understand that is universally true. Mm. You have to like the way your partner smells. And that's all because of the limbic system and because of the essential oils that even we as humans emit in the form of pheromones.
Wow, that is so powerful to think that. I'm just role playing here, and like the act of smelling and recognizing a smell can also be passed over generationally, through generations, as you said, as airy as that sounds.
It's not just like, oh, it could be passed generationally. Think about it this way: the sense of smell is the oldest sense in humanity. It comprises more than 3-5% of our entire genetic code. It is the largest gene family in our body. And it's not because the sense of smell is so good at smelling roses and daffodils and fresh baked bread. It's because the sense of smell is so good at smelling rotten food, poisons in our food. We literally smell fear and we smell different emotions. And so the sense of smell is not only there to benefit us and give us pleasure, but also to prevent us from entering dangerous situations, especially when it comes to spoiled food.
Do you believe that humans have lost the connection between their sense of smell and their being? Meaning, we often get gut feelings and that intuitive feeling, but we don't really go with it anymore. We go with what is, in inverted commas, right by...
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think all humans are told to behave a certain way. Yesterday, I did a post on Instagram about how women are told, could you just smile more? You'd be so much prettier if you smiled more. Like, screw you, you know? And so when I think about sociological theories about why humans behave like we behave, dating all the way back to the 50s, there have been some sociologists who say that the way that we behave is simply a matter of us doing actions that fit within societal norms. And when people behave in ways that are outside of societal norms, this is what brings up conflicts among different people. And so I think that when we're children, we have that connection. We know that gut feeling. We know if we don't want to go with that person. Like, you know, we've all seen young children like give your aunt a hug and they're like, I don't know. Yeah. But as we get older, we are taught this is the way to behave. And we fall into that. And I also think that when we are so caught up in the day-to-day of, oh my gosh, I got to fill my brain with television and podcasts and the internet and my telephone and social media and all of that, we don't take a moment to just be present. And the sense of smell is powerful for creating a presence if you take a moment to just engage with it.
So from a medical point of view, because you're the perfect person to discuss this, how does the actual act of smelling a certain smell, an essential oil, using an essential oil, does it react chemically within our brain in order to change patterns?
Yes, there's a very elegant system by which a smells can change our thought processes. And so when we smell an aromatic compound, it's known as an odorant. So odorant molecules are floating everywhere around us at all times. And so these odorant molecules are floating through the air. And if you inhale one, what you see is that it hits a set of tiny hairs called cilia. And these tiny hairs start to vibrate. This vibration generates an electrical signal that is sent to a receptor cell inside the olfactory. So olfaction is the sense of smell. So inside the olfactory epithelium, it then sends that chemical signal further up across the base of the skull, and it coalesces. It comes together in little bundles of scent information. This scent information is then packaged and almost like it's braided together in one neuronal connection. And so there is an axon that then projects into the very center of the brain, into the limbic system. So there's very little known actually about what happens inside the limbic system. As I said, the limbic system is buried deep within the brain. There are a wide variety of chemical reactions that take place that we can't see simply because we don't have access to see it. But we know that when scents get into the limbic system, it very quickly permeates throughout all of the different chemical structure or the different anatomical structures that are in there. So as you mentioned, the amygdala is responsible for fight or flight inside the limbic system. So if you're having a moment of panic and you inhale essential oil and you consciously tell yourself, I'm excited. You know, so often it's about training conscious language. Don't be nervous, be excited. Don't be worried, be excited about the future. What does it hold for you? Instead of being sad, be calm, be serene. You know, and above all, just being grateful. So we can use the scents to affect and calm down that fight or flight response. And we see it physically. We see physical evidence that this happens. So what we could see, for example, for fight or flight is if you inhale something like a lavender essential oil before going in for a test, we've seen multiple studies where children going in for tests have lower levels of cortisol, which is the stress hormone in their body. We also know that the sense of smell is very powerful for ramping up our hormones. If we smell an aroma that is an aphrodisiac, or if we smell the aroma of our partner who we love, it gets the juices flowing. And so it can actually physically increase levels of testosterone, of estrogens, as well as oxytocin, which is that hormone that not only extends to our romantic partners, but to our children, to our community. Oxytocin is one of those hormones that really makes us feel like we're a part of the human family. And we see physical evidence that essential oils can increase all of them.
Now, with such incredible testimonials and evidence in the essential oil game. And thanks to doTERRA right now doing wonders around the world just by the size of their brand now. And a lot of people are talking about essential oils. Why the disconnect from the pharmaceutical companies to the clear benefits to essential oils? Because, I mean, you're in both worlds. And obviously the pharmaceuticals are pushing, I mean, you talk about aphrodisiacs, the pharmaceuticals are pushing Viagra, and then you've got an essential oil that can do the same without side effects. It's probably cheaper, etc. Where is this wall, this blockage?
Well, okay, so let me tell you a little bit about the history of essential oils. And so essential oils, as I said, were used by humans extensively in ancient history. And so ancient China, ancient Egypt, ancient Rome, ancient Greece, people used tons of essential oils. They bathed in them, used them in much higher quantities than what we currently see in the world today. But what happened was, following the Middle Ages, in comes in the Victorian era, and we see a shift to where people now consider essential oils witchcraft, and they are given a spot outside of the typical Western practices. Why exactly that happened is lost to myth and lore. We just saw a lot of opinions about natural practices changing over time. And here's the thing about modern pharmacy and modern pharmaceuticals. Modern pharmaceuticals is, they don't like it when there's gray area in data. It has to be black and white. It has to be, you take this statin, your LDL goes down by X percentage, and But the problem is humans are terrible at defining things in black and white. This is actually an example of how differently the limbic system works versus our neocortex. If you do a study where you ask people where they are facing a tough decision, you know, where to put your kid in school, where to buy a new house, tough, tough, big life decisions, who to marry, for goodness sakes. If you try to make that decision only using your neocortex, only using the executive portion of your brain, and you sit down and you're like, you know, you've got house number one and house number two, and you write down all of the reasons why house number one is a better option. It, you know, it's got a better school district. It's walking distance to the local shops. It's makes sense financially. But then there's some reason that just house B, you know, it's maybe more expensive and it's out of your way, but it's on the beach, but it doesn't make any sense for you to, but you just want to. That is your limbic system and that gut feeling winning out over this executive function. And so when you try to make wellness black and white, you fail. You will fail. Every single time you will fail. And the reason for that is because every single person's body chemistry is different. So to me, I think that Western medicine is fighting a losing battle. They're trying so hard to say, every single human with diabetes needs this exact protocol. Every single person with hypertension needs this exact protocol. But yet, it doesn't take into account individual chemistries and individual anatomical differences and metabolism differences. And ultimately, when it comes to Western medicine versus natural practices, there's simply no money to do the high quality research that there is behind drugs. If you think about it, it takes multiple billions of dollars to bring a drug to market. And it is horrifying sometimes to think of the manipulations that go into that. Whereas, guys, we all know what we need to do to be healthy. Sleep more, drink more water, cut out toxic relationships, eat some vegetables, and focus on higher quality in the diet. Relax, calm your mind, meditate. We all know what we're supposed to do, but we're so looking for what's the magic bullet when I'm here to tell you there absolutely is no magic bullet at all.
It's so ironic because Western medicine really has followed on from the ancient traditions of ancient Chinese medicine and Ayurveda and et cetera, especially Ayurveda. I mean, it's the oldest science of life there is. And as a yoga teacher, I'm sure you can attest to the power of Ayurveda. And it really does everything you explained to me in about essential oils. It's so like, it just rings a bell, you know. You're right. Everyone has a different constitution and everyone is unbalanced in different types of ways. And there is no one pill that fits everyone.
Right.
And if when people understand that there's also no quick fix, like
right.
wherever you are, if you're 30 or 40 or 50, 60, whatever, it's taken you the 30, 40, 50 years to get to the health you're at. So if you're expecting a different result tomorrow morning, that just means that a pill is masking what is actually happening in your body.
I really hope
that a lot of people can let go of their full trust in their GP or doctor they've had for so many years. I'm not saying mm-hmm. don't trust them, but like second opinions always work.
Well, and your opinion is the one that really matters, you know? I mean, I think to go blindly in and just say, whatever medicine they give me, I'll say yes. Whatever surgery they recommend, I'll say yes. Without going like, I have spent the last 15 years drinking soda every day and eating hamburgers every day and really not focusing on high quality in my diet. I work an extraordinarily stressful job. You know, I mean, people have to take a step back and go, maybe I don't need that anti-anxiety medicine. Maybe I need to get out of this really crappy relationship that I'm in. Maybe I need to remove the stressor from my life. It's not always possible. But remember, we do not have control over what happens to us. We only have control over our reaction to what happens to us. So something stressful happens at work, you get fired. For person number one, that could be a devastating thing that sets them back for years. For person number two, I told one of my pharmacy school professors the other day, I said, you know, I've almost proudly been fired from every job I've ever had or left in a very like cantankerous, like, this isn't working for me, you know, but I just knew that it wasn't working for me. And so having the courage and the bravery to step up and say, you know what? I really want to do something different. And that sometimes requires making those tough decisions. If you're miserable at work, you don't need an antidepressant. You need to quit your job and feel that freedom. And yes, the slight panic that comes with like, oh no, well, I've still got to pay the bills. But you know what? If you hate an area in your life, only you can change that. Only you can change that. And sometimes it comes down to really tough decisions. You know, I've worked with people with children who are addicts. You know, what do you do with that? You love your child, but at some point, how do you make that decision about how do you not kill yourself in pursuit of helping someone else? And so health is really a matter of day in and day out decision making that leads to our overall health. To echo what you said, one of my favorite yoga teachers always said, when people come into yoga and about a week later, they're like, it hadn't happened yet. You know, I hadn't found bliss. And it's like, how long did it take you to get into this body? How long did it take you to get into this body? And how long will it take you to change it?
Yeah. It's so true. If we practice a little bit more patience, a little bit more self-love and self-care, and a little less people-pleasing, I think can go so far in life. It has become, I mentioned people-pleasing, it's one of the things I share all the time. It's the main subject of every conversation I have with a client. It's just, it was one of my weaknesses, and letting go of that, it's almost like there's a circle of life that Joshua Rosenthal, teaches at IIN, the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. And it's your health is not just what you put in your mouth. It's everything you consume. It's the media, the billboard, the TV, the stimuli that we are busy with the whole time. And the only thing that's lacking right now in our world is a sense of presence and quietness that we can really look inwards. And what's very fascinating to me is I don't know much about essential oils, but essential oils sounds like it's one of the biggest tools that you can have in your arsenal to help you get there. What are some of your biggest changes, like one or two that you saw when you started working with essential oils, like emotionally or physically?
For me, it was an instant passion and an instant drive that happens in a lot of people. So the company I work with is called Young Living. And believe it or not, it's actually bigger and older than the company that you mentioned. And it recently opened in South Africa. And for me, I had an instant connection. I wanted to be part of not only using the oils, but I wanted to be a part of the community of people that I saw. I wanted to be a part of what I saw to be a bigger mission and vision to help empower people to take ownership of their own health. Now, in a much less esoteric kind of way, essential oils, I just simply use them throughout my home. So if you get a child who gets a big sticky mess, or maybe you've had to put some electrical tape or some duct tape and you've got a residue on it, simply using some lemon oil will take that sticky residue right off. I find that essential oils empower and focus my meditation routines. I find that when I am working, if I'm diffusing something like an essential oil that can help to increase focus, something like a rosemary or a peppermint essential oil, it can help you to stay focused on the task at hand. And as you mentioned, we are so just over here, over there, over everywhere. And really and truly, we need to do what Tanya Dalton, who has a book coming out this October called The Joy of Missing Out. What we really need to do is focus on one task at a time. And I think that essential oils can greatly help with that as well. I know that when I sit down at my computer, it's so easy to get distracted with, oh, here's another email, here's another text message, and you're constantly moving away from your one task at hand. If I have some discipline and turn on my diffuser with some focusing essential oils, set a timer for 30 minutes and say for 30 minutes, I am doing nothing except working on this task. All of a sudden you're like, oh, that task got done. And you didn't have to run around for a week trying to accomplish something that ultimately took you 30 minutes. Also, as far as, you know, working with people of different ages, children respond really well to essential oils. It can help so much with their confidence at school. It can also help with children with behavioral difficulties. As we have seen, when children are involved with picking the food that they eat, they become more courageous with food. I find that when children are exposed to essential oils and are given some autonomy to say, okay, what do you want to diffuse before we go to bed? They become more open and exploratory about using oils. For teenagers, we can start looking at the skin. Essential oils are brilliant for support of the skin. And so putting frankincense onto the skin or something like a tea tree oil that can be really purifying for the skin. As we get older, especially women get concerned about aging and we have societal pressures to stay looking a certain way. And so putting a frankincense or a lavender or a myrrh or even a rose on the skin helps support the appearance of skin. And again, has been used for millennia to help reduce the appearance of wrinkles and to beautify. Essential oils are great in a sexual health routine with you and your partners. They're amazing as people get older and start to experience the aches and pains of life. You know, you look at something like wintergreen essential oil, one of the most common ingredients in over-the-counter pain medicines. And so it is easy to say, okay, let's just use the essential oil and cut out all the additives and fillers. And so essential oils can be used for everyone throughout the entire lifetime, for everything from cleaning to beautification to mental health to even the aches and pains of life.
It really is the one-stop shop. That's amazing. I'm going to add a link in the show notes for Young Living. Young Living, yeah. Like you said, I'm new to essential oils. So the only one I know is like because people in my maybe Instagram community are pushing the one brand. But I'd love to see. And you said it's just launched in South Africa as well?
It's launched in South Africa. I actually have been tentatively invited to come to South Africa next year. Oh, wow. So if any of the South African listeners would like to join me, I will be in Portugal next year. And so I can send you a link to that registration as well, because they may tack on a South African tour alongside that Portugal trip. But yes, it's just launched in South Africa. It is the oldest essential oil company in the modern era, 25 years old, and it's a huge company. It's doing about $1.5 billion in revenue, pushing $2 billion in revenue. Oh, wow. So it's a very, very large company. And the South African team is absolutely wonderful. It's headed up by a friend of mine who I've known for quite a while. So, you know, I'm partial to Young Living, but ultimately, I really, really want people using essential oils. And so if it's Young Living, great. If you can't get your hands on Young Living, simply taking a moment to be present with the smell of an aromatic plant is a great place to start.
What makes a brand or a type of essential oil good or not good? Like, how do you know if you go to a store and there's no Young Living?
So there's a couple of things you need to look out for. One is quality. There are so many essential oils out there that are synthetic, that are cut with fillers or that have additives added to them. So you really want to read your label. Be sure that you're using a 100% pure essential oil. There's also nomenclature differences. And so, for example, wintergreen essential oil is the distillate of the wintergreen plant. Oil of wintergreen is the clever way that the pharmaceutical industry markets synthetic wintergreen. So we can also look for those nomenclature differences. Another thing that you have to consider is the environmental impact of essential oils. So essential oils, in order to create them, you have to have massive amounts of plant material. So you have to be sure that the company that you're working with is legally and ethically sourcing essential oils. And so when it comes to moving plant material around the world, there's something called the Lacey Act, which governs how much essential oil we can move around and how much plant material. You have to make sure that you're complying with those. There's also a lot of unethical behavior, farmers not getting paid fair wages, people getting bribed. We saw this in Croatia when there was an explosion in popularity of helichrysum essential oil. And there's a very particular way that helichrysum has to be harvested or it kills the entire helichrysum crop. So we need to make sure that you're working with a company that has ethics and standards that they are willing to talk about. And then we also need to be sure that there's testing going on, because the black market for essential oils is huge. People will put together all kinds of things and call it this essential oil or that essential oil. But in order to be sure that you are getting something that you can trust to use in your family, you've got to look at quality. You've got to look at ethics. And you also have to look at price. If you're paying $1.99 for a bottle of essential oil, you can be confident that it is not a good quality oil.
I'm sure you use a whole bunch of different oils. And people listening to this, it might be a lot of new news to a lot of people. And you've just written a book called Essentials. on essential oils. And you've also got the Essentials Book Club.
Yes.
And people can find that on, which website is best for them to visit for that, or on your socials?
Well, you can come to me at lindsayelmore.com, and you can also find me on social media. And, you know, if you're not ready to dive full on into learning about essentials, is 75 answers to common questions about essential oils and supplements. So we've really focused on essential oils today, but there's also a lot of learning surrounding supplements. And then the book club goes through and we discuss each of those. And so maybe you're not ready to fully dive into that, but there is a free ebook that goes back to the very beginning of our conversation, which is, how do we listen to our intuition and our instincts, and how do we make the best understanding of what we have in order to make health and wellness decisions that honor our spirit. And you can download that free ebook at lindsayelmore.com/ebook.
That's amazing. And I hope, I encourage everyone to do that. Lindsay, in a world that is so confused and inundated with information, how does one separate facts from fiction in order to make an empowered choice for, like, our own health? Like,
oh man, that's the whole ebook right there. You just set me up, and I'm going to, you know, swing and hit it out of the park now. I think that we have to listen to our own instincts and our own intuition. That is very important. We also sometimes just have to stop reading everybody else's opinions. We sometimes just have to say, this is what I want for my life. And we ultimately have to say, this is what's right for me, regardless of what other people really think about it. Because I am of the firm mindset that really and truly, there is no right choice. There is no wrong choice. There is only your choice. You may look back on it in 5 years and go, yikes, staying in that relationship was not the best thing for me. But think about what you've learned about yourself. I also think that we can begin with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey taught in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So very often people approach health and wellness as, oh, my doc told me that I got to drink more water, or, oh my gosh, I've just been diagnosed and now I have to take this medication. Stop all of that day to day and start thinking about, where do you actually want to be? What do you want your best life to look like? You know, if you are overweight and you decide it's time for me to lose this weight, don't focus on, oh, I got to go to the gym again, and oh, I got to, you know, eat another salad. Focus on, I have a dream to go on a bike ride with my child. I have a dream to feel a certain way when I walk my daughter down the aisle. Start thinking about why you want to make these changes in your life. I have a background in smoking cessation, and so I've taught lots and lots of people to stop using tobacco products, and they've done the work. I've just been there to facilitate. But one of the things we talk about so much is, we so often think about, what would life be like without cigarettes? And what would life be like if I were thin? Think about how you might want to feel, and think about empowering statements that you can use during those tough times. Because look, nobody is denying that high fat, high sugar foods and alcohol and all of that is fun and entertaining and tasty. And trust me, nobody wants to go to kickboxing class if you've never been before. Nobody wants to start a yoga routine. But you have to focus on, where do you want to go and why? What is ultimately driving you to be this better person of yourself that we all have inside of us? We just got to peel away the layers to get there. Stop researching so much. Stop the information overload. Really, my goodness, if I could get one thing across to listeners about making empowered health and wellness decisions, is, don't believe everything you read online. You can read anything and everything that you want online about health and wellness. Ultimately, there is no right answer. There is no one that can tell you that this dose of magnesium in 100% of people is beneficial. It's not true. Not everyone needs it. And so we have to figure out what works for us, which brings me to step three, which is if at first you don't succeed, try again. You know, we tend to think of health and wellness decisions as being I make this decision and that's it. No, most health and wellness decisions are not grave. Most of them we can play around with. You know, which essential oil helps you sleep better at night? Lavender or maybe something like a vetiver? It doesn't matter which is the right answer for you. It just matters that you have the courage to try something. And then we have to listen to our intuition and trust it. Go in that direction. Understand those two realms of the brain that I was telling you about earlier. Understand that your limbic system is going to be better than your cortex in making these decisions. And then ultimately, you just have to decide. And then I think the hardest part, especially, I'm, you know, I am a woman, so I'm speaking from a woman's perspective. So correct me if guys feel this way as well. But I think especially for women, once we ultimately commit and make a decision, there is so much shame around it. You know, somebody decides, this is what I want to feed my kid. And somebody's like cutting their eyes across the room going like, did you see what she just fed her kid? And so you have to stop listening to everybody else's opinion and just stand firm and say, this was my decision and it's right for me and my family. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. 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 Stand in your own shoes, be confident, raise that confidence level. Cause I think it's slipped a little bit and we've handed over our confidence to everyone on the other side of the table and we've forgotten about that person in the mirror.
Right.
And I did a post today about it to say, like, at the end of the day, the most important thing ever is to be able to look yourself in the eyes, in the mirror, and be able to genuinely say, I love you and I trust you and I'm here for you.
Oh man, if we could all just do that, imagine what a different world we'd be living in.
Oh wow, I mean, transformational.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we all have this superpower inside of us. You know, it's like Marianne Williamson said, we all think we're scared of being powerless, but what we're actually scared of is being powerful beyond measure. And that is very true.
Wow, amazing. So as a yoga teacher and someone that's been practicing yoga for a long time, I want to ask you, what yoga philosophy has been the most profound for you? I mean, I know there is many in between the back page and the front page of the Bhagavad Gita and that, but what is your favorite philosophy and what do you live by every single day?
I mean, I think that the biggest thing of yoga is doing kindnesses into other parts of life. You know, if we think about our yamas and our niyamas, so I think the yamas, if we could all just live by those mantras of saying, I first do no harm to other people, to some people extend this to animals and choose to live vegetarian or vegan lifestyles, you know, saying, I'm going to be truthful in all of my matters. I'm not going to steal from people. I'm going to let go. Oh my gosh. I think especially in westernized societies, the lessons we could learn from aparigraha, the non-possessiveness, not just possessiveness of objects, but possessiveness of outcomes. You know, we are so like, well, I put in all this work and I didn't get what I wanted out of it. Well, we have to put in the work regardless of the outcome. You know, I know how frustrating it can be when people start a health and wellness routine and they are overweight and they're sitting there and, you know, they're eating exactly what they're supposed to and they're working out and they don't get the rapid weight loss, or especially I've seen when couples try to lose weight together and one partner, just the weight just falls right off and the other person just holds on to it. Don't be obsessed with the outcome. Be obsessed with the process, because the process ultimately changes you inside, even if the physical shape does not change. And then I think especially, you know, right now in this moment of Me Too, of women and men speaking up and saying like, no, sexual abuse is not okay. Brahmacharya, or that body autonomy of the understanding of there are boundaries around us. If we could all practice those yamas, being truthful, not stealing, not harming others, and understanding that other people have rights around us, and simply showing up every day and doing our best, regardless of what the universe brings us, we would be in such better shape. And that is nothing for, you know, that's just the yamas. Then you get into the daily practices of staying clean and having the discipline and all of that. And so, but for me, yoga is devotion to a higher purpose. That, call it God, call it universe, call it spirit, call it whatever it is that spark inside of you that encourages you to be a kinder and a better person. And that to me is what yoga is all about.
I mean, no one could have said it more beautifully.
Thank you.
Incredible. Are you ready for some quick fire questions?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, cool. One, what do you think the soul is?
The peaceful understanding that everything in the universe is okay. Everything's okay.
What's your definition of God?
The everlasting, the source you can always know is there.
Complete the sentence. The world needs
more kindness.
What is the purpose of the human experience?
To teach you to learn, to grow and evolve, so that ultimately when we do decide to stay on that other plane, that we've reached that level 9, that bliss body.
And for the last one, how important is human connection and why?
I think without human connection, humans cease to be human. Without love, without respect, without community, we are no longer human. We have to have each other, and we're all in this together.
That's amazing. Lindsay, thank you so much for all your knowledge, your information, but mostly like your love and passion, because it like literally feeds through this microphone and this internet. It's amazing.
Thank you.
I know a lot of the guests are going to get so much from it, and I'm going to tell them, don't ask me the questions. Go straight to lindsayelmore.com. And where can people reach you the best? On your website, email, Instagram? What's your deal?
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Lindsay Elmore. And then you can find me on YouTube. Just search for Lindsay Elmore there as well. And as always, all you have to do on my website is click Get Site Support. And me and my team are just one click away from you at any time.
That's amazing. Have you got any exciting new events or any gigs coming up that people can come support you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a huge upcoming event, a yoga and wellness women's retreat in October of 2020 in Santorini. So all that you have to do is go to lindsayelmore.com/events and learn all about this in-depth yoga and wellness retreat that I'm teaching with a friend of mine who I've known since high school, and we are so excited to work together on this. And we are bringing a Reiki master and anyone who also has skill sets as far as acupuncture or meditation leading that would like to come and join us. We would be honored to have you with us. So head to lindsayelmore.com/events.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I hope South Africa gets to experience you as well. So holding thumbs.
I will absolutely let you know. It's been a joy here to talk to you today. And I appreciate you having this podcast that does so much for your listeners.
Of course. Thank you so much. And have a beautiful week.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
It means so much to myself and my change-making friends that you decided to spend some of your valuable time with us. It would mean even more if you could share their inspiring message to your loved ones. As someone once told me, the only thing more powerful than changing the world every day for the good is doing it with a community. Guys, I love you and I cannot wait to welcome you back next week. Remember to reach out to me directly at hello@garyterola.com if you have any questions, or hit me up on social media, Gary_Terola, Instagram and Facebook. I'm here for you, so let's do this together.